I'm going to read from a few places. I was planning on it. I'm going to go back and read from the book of Deuteronomy a couple of verses there. But I want to begin my reading in the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Before I read this scripture, I'm going to read the part that describes Jesus as he revealed himself to John in this revelation. And I want us to think about, we all, I'm sure, have a mind's eye picture of Jesus. Because I don't know how you are, but I think more of him, the human part of him, than I do the God part of him most of the time. I think of him walking here in the world and teaching and preaching. And I think about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah that describes him and says there was nothing comely about him, nothing to be desired. He was sort of a common man as he walked here in the world. He was a very good man. He never committed a sin, if we can imagine that. He was very mild and meek on most occasions in how he presented himself and how he came across to people. He preached his own gospel, but I don't see him overwhelming or overpowering. I believe he was convincing in the way that he delivered his word. I also think of him hanging on that cross for my sins. I can picture that in my mind because I can see that. And I can picture him wearing a crown and being a king. And I can picture him as a high priest. And I can picture him in all these things. But in all these things, he always takes on a human form. And even in this that I'm about to read, that's how John saw him. But I want us to get a picture of Christ. I want us all to have a picture of Christ in our heads today as I talk about the thought that God has given me to present here for just a little while this morning for our consideration. I want to begin. This first chapter talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. And then it talks about John bearing record and all this. And then Jesus speaks to him down in the 8th verse. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I'll just go ahead and read from there. I meant to start with verse 10, but we'll start with 8 and go on down. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with white garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Now, I wanted to read that for us to get a picture of Jesus in the glory of heaven. And in the way that John saw him, in the way that he revealed himself to John, as John was given this revelation and commanded to write it and to send it to the seven churches of Asia. Now, not only did he write it to send it to the seven churches of Asia, but God meant it to be scripture. And if we turn over to the 22nd chapter, we see that it was the closing of God's word that he would leave with his people. Because in that 22nd chapter, there's a verse that says, "Woe unto them that add unto this book, and woe unto them that take away anything out of this book." And so I believe that was God's way of telling us, "I've completed the written word that I've inspired men to write, and I put it in the hands of men." And so he was commanded to write. Now, we have an occasion, I believe it's in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians perhaps, that Paul was caught up. He said there was a man, whether in the body or out, I cannot tell. But he was caught up into the third heaven. But he was able to witness things that were unspeakable and unlawful to say. And so Paul was forbidden to write about the things that he saw. But John was commanded to write the things that he saw and send it specifically to these seven churches. Now, that's my reading lesson, and I want to use as a text today seven verses. And you'll see them. I'm going to read the seventh verse of the second chapter, which says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then, if you'll look in verse 11 of the second chapter, and verse 17, and verse 29, and in the third chapter, verse 6, and verse 13, and then in verse 22, all of those say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, when you read and study this, now, I'm not a scholar on the book of Revelation. I haven't preached out of that book very often. There's a lot. Brother Dyer talked in Sunday school this morning about symbolism. We have symbolism in the scripture. There's a lot of types and shadows. There's a lot of symbolic language in the book of Revelation. But there are some things that are pretty plain in here too. One thing that I want to point out to you, Jesus speaking unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, and then he names these other six churches. He spoke something very specific to each one of these churches. But I don't want us to lose sight that he told John to write this and send it to all the churches. So everyone was to hear the message that Jesus gave to each one individually in the second and third chapter. So that's my thought and that's my text today. And for my thought, I am going to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to share just a couple of things with you here out of the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And there's just a couple of verses here that I want to share with you before I give you my thought. But it's this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2 says this, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then he goes on to tell what those blessings are. And tells how they'll be blessed and the things they'll be received on the condition that they hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Then in the 15th verse of that same chapter, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And he spends the rest of this chapter, and I know this wasn't divided in chapters and verses when it was written by Moses, but he spends the rest of that chapter, the way it was divided when it was translated, telling them all the things they'll be cursed with if they don't hearken unto the Lord. Now, let me remind us again what Deuteronomy is. Deuteronomy is the speech or speeches that Moses gave to the children of Israel just before they were going into the promised land. I want to tell you, I believe that there's a great parallel between the nation of Israel that was being formed at this time. They were being formed even while they were out there in the wilderness. God was trying them, and he purged all the ones that didn't believe, didn't he? He didn't let the unbelievers go in. That's the reason I believe there's a great parallel between the physical nation of Israel and the Lord's church here in the world. And he didn't let unbelievers go into the promised land. And we shouldn't allow unbelievers into the church of the living God. As a matter of fact, they can't come in. They can get wet in the water, but they can't be baptized in the church if they haven't been saved by God's grace. That's a qualification that must be there. Now, here's what I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning with those verses that I've read. And I wanted you to see the source from which they came. That Jesus, as John saw him, is the one that told him what to write as he dictated that to him in chapters 2 and 3 for those churches. And I believe that God is still speaking to his church today. And so here's my question today to all of us, not just Mount Calvary, but to me as well, and anybody that might be a visitor here, but are we listening? The brother here on the front seat a few minutes ago, he talked about inviting somebody to come to church with him. And whether he accepted that invitation or not, was he listening? You know, we have to ask that question. Are we listening? Are we listening? Now, did the children of Israel listen to what Moses said? He said, "And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently." What does the word hearken mean? Well, I write definitions down. Hearken means to listen, to lend it. Have you ever listened to somebody? I listen to my wife a lot of times, but I don't really hear what she says. She says I have selective hearing. But do you ever listen to somebody sometimes and you know they're talking, but you don't really hear what they say? Think about that. Hearken means to listen, to lend the ear, to attend to what is uttered. Listen, with eagerness or curiosity. I didn't hear any curiosity in how your friend responded when you invited him to come to church. I'm not interested in that. I want to tell you, I think if we could just make people curious sometimes about what we have, they might want to come and see the source of it. Have you ever thought about it that way? It says to attend, to regard, to give heed to what is uttered, to observe or obey. So see, you're listening and taking action. In other words, you're hearing, if you hearken, you're hearing and taking action on what you hear. And then it says to give heed to. The word heed means to mind, to regard with care, to take notice of, to attend, to observe. It means a care, caution, care, watch for danger, notice, circumspection. Notice, observation, regard, attention. So it's listening. It's giving an attentive ear, a comprehending ear, and an ear with curiosity and eager to benefit and take action from what we hear. So are we listening? Are we listening? God told the children of Israel that if they would hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which were commanded this day, that the Lord thy God would set thee in a high place. And in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, do you know about the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke as he opened that Sermon on the Mount, the blessed are? Well, these verses say, blessed shalt thou be, blessed shalt be the fruit, blessed shalt be thy basket, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. They were going to be blessed if they would hearken unto the Lord. Do you know, I believe that's one of the things that's caused our churches. When I say our churches, our old-time churches, our missionary Baptist churches, our old-time Baptist churches, whatever the name might be, but the ones that believe in the heartfelt salvation and believe in hearing to the doctrines that the Scripture teaches us about the Lord's church, maybe that's one of the things that has hurt our churches and caused a falling away. Does it not say in the last days there shall be a great falling away? And so we see that a lot of times when we go from place to place, and we see that in people's lives. People who once were regular church attenders and have a testimony of salvation, but now they're caught up out in the world somewhere. So are they listening? Are they hearkening diligently unto the Lord? Are they listening to that Savior that John saw on that Isle of Patmos as he revealed himself to him? Are they listening to something that somebody else has planted in their minds and it's gotten down into their hearts? Now, I want to tell you something. If they've truly been saved by God's grace, he's promised he won't take that away. They're heaven bound. But how many are they going to take with them if they're listening to the world and not listening to the Lord? Amen. So we need to listen to God. Now, I preached a sermon last Sunday, and I read some scripture from 1 Kings, and I talked about Elijah. And Elijah did a great wonder in front of the people. He had that evil king Ahab assemble all of Israel, and he had all the prophets of Baal there, and he proved that God was the one true and living God in front of all those people. And then all the prophets of Baal were slain. And then he prayed, and it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and Ahab had blamed that on Elijah, but Elijah said, no, that's your fault, Ahab. And he was bold and stood there and did that and slew all those prophets and everything. Goes running into the city as the rain comes after he prays and it begins to rain again. And then Jezebel said, I'm going to do the same thing to you, Elijah, that you did to all those prophets of mine. And what did Elijah do? Did he stand up and cry out to his God and ask him what he needed to do? And then did he listen for God, what he wanted, God wanted him to do? No, if you'll go back into 2 Kings and read, 1 Kings, I mean, here and read, it's around in the 19th chapter. He ran, didn't he? He ran. He went out into the wilderness, and then God sustained him. He sent nourishment for him, and he sustained him, and he let him go on a little bit farther. Do you know God will let us run for a while? And then, you know what he'll do? He'll stop, and he'll ask. You know what he asked Elijah? He said, Elijah, what doest thou here? What did Elijah answer? See, he could still hear the voice of God. Do you think God stops talking to us just because we get out of church or because we go our own way? Do you know we can be in church every Sunday and still not be in God's will? Are we listening? Are we listening for what God wants us to do? Elijah ran out there in the wilderness. What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, Lord, even I alone am left. There's nobody else. All the other prophets are dead, and they seek my life, and there's nobody left but me. He's having a little pity party, wasn't he? He was pretty sad out there. And the Lord let him go on for a little while. And he even sent the, what was it here? He sent him the wind and the fire and the earthquake and all that. But the Lord wasn't in any of those things. And then a still, small voice. And then he asked him again, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he started that again. He said, "I'm ready to die. I'm just ready to die, Lord. I just, you know, it's just me." And then the Lord reveals something to him, doesn't he? Has the Lord ever answered a prayer for you? And you've listened? Now, you know, I believe we ought to pray. Mount Calvary's seeking a pastor. And I trust that you've been praying for God to send the man to you. But have you listened? Are you listening? You know, I haven't thought much about where the Lord would send me, even if He'd send me anywhere next. Because I pastored Mount Lebanon, and I feel like my obligation is to them until they have a pastor. And so I've tried to be there when they didn't have somebody to come and preach. But you know what? One of these days, I'm going to have to listen. And say, like Elijah did. See, that's the reason I wanted to use this example. I believe every one of us, whether we're called to preach, or whether we're a Sunday school teacher, or whether we're a deacon in the church, or we're just somebody that comes and fills our place in the church on Sunday with a prayerful heart, asking God to give us what we need, I believe it begins with every one of us asking God for what He wants, asking His will to be done, and then listening for what He would tell us. Now, how's He going to tell us? Is He just going to shout out with a loud voice and tell us exactly what we need to do or where we need to go or what needs to happen? No, I believe He's going to speak to us in that still small voice. And I believe that He will ask us, if we're not where He wants us to be, He's going to say, "What doest thou here?" And even let us know by our name. Now, I've never heard Him with my physical ear call my name before, but I certainly believe that my name has come out of His voice on my behalf before, and it sunk down in my heart that it was me He was talking to. So we need to listen to what the Lord would have to say to us. In the book of John, in the 10th chapter, there's a couple of verses here that I would like to point out to us. First of all, in the 4th verse, he says, first of all, this is where he's talking about the sheepfold or the sheep, the door of the sheepfold. And you know, he says, "I am the door." You know, no one comes into the sheep except by the door. And he says, "I am the door." And then, you know what he said a little later? He said, "I am the good shepherd." So he's the shepherd of his sheep. And he says this in verse 4. He says, "And when he putteth forth his sheep, his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, and they know his voice." I want to ask you something. When we pray to the Lord and He talks back to us, do we know His voice? We need to listen. I believe it's in John, 1 John. And I forget if it's chapter 1 or chapter 2, but it says, "Try the spirits to see if they be of God." There's going to be other voices whispering in our ear or screaming at us or telling us other things. But I want to tell you, we need to listen, and we can distinguish the Lord's voice if we've been saved by His grace. We'll know His voice when it comes to us. He says in verse 16, he says this, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." I believe the Lord's talking about He came to His own, and His own received Him not. He came to the Jews, and the Jews had the first opportunity. But the gospel goes into all the world. Didn't He commission His church to go into all the world and carry the gospel? And so I believe He's talking about here that other sheep He has, other people have been saved by His grace, and they're going to be brought in and be His sheep, and He would be their shepherd. And there would be one fold. Isn't His church kingdom, isn't that His kingdom in this earthly realm until He comes back again to call us into that, for that resurrection? That was even mentioned in Sunday school this morning. In verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So you see, when we listen, when we hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, He provides that comfort that we need to hear. He gives us the answer that we're looking for. And so that's what we need. That's the reason we need to hearken diligently. That's the reason we need to listen to what God is telling us. Now, I want to go back over to where I read my scripture from in the book of Revelation. And I want to look at some things here. First of all, he told John, when John saw him, I want us to get a picture of, I'm going to say it this way, the magnificence of our Savior now in the realm that he's in. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't want us to lose sight of the picture of him sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession and pleading our case. He is our advocate and our intercessor with the Father. And I want to tell you, in the book of Hebrews, in the fourth chapter and the 14th and 15th verses, it is. I want to read it. I don't want to try to quote it. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So you see, it doesn't matter what the need is. It doesn't matter if we're a church we're a group of people joined together in a local body of baptized believers looking for that under shepherd. Now, you notice I said under shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. It's just an under shepherd that we look for when we're looking for a pastor. And it doesn't matter if that's what it is, or if it doesn't matter if it's taking care of the building where the Lord's church meets. It doesn't matter if it's surrounding this altar with somebody bowed seeking their soul's salvation. Whatever it is, we need to be seeking God's help, because we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how far we can go. He wants us to do what we can do, to use the abilities He's given us. But then He wants us to also know our limitations, and that we need to lay what we can't do at His feet so that He can help us in time of need. He gives us the grace, unmerited favor, to help in time of need. So you see, it doesn't matter what the work of the church is. We need to remember who we're looking at. Now, we need to see Him as that compassionate, loving Savior. But we also need to see Him as this magnificent person, as John saw Him, with all in white, which represents His purity, and His eyes as a flame of fire, and His feet like brass, showing the purity of that part, and how that He can purge us from our sins. You see, we need to see Him that way, and then we need to listen to what He said. Now, I can't tell you exactly what's meant by these statements that He commanded John to write to each of these individual churches. He addressed it unto the angel. And I hope all of you know, the angel is the pastor of the churches. It says that, I believe that's pretty clearly stated here. And the candlesticks are the churches. And I want you to notice one other thing. That when John turned and saw Him, the first thing he saw, "I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Do you know that Jesus allowed John to see the churches, the candlesticks? He says it down in the 20th verse. The candlesticks are the churches. He let John see the churches and the importance of what he was to write before he even saw Jesus himself.
Is there significance in that? I believe there is. Jesus loves His church. He died for His church. He purchased it with His own blood. We read about that in the book of Acts. And so He loves it. And He intercedes for us. And so it's so important for us to listen to what God is telling us individually, so that we can listen to Him collectively. If we're in tune with God individually, then don't you think we'll be in tune with God collectively? That's how the apostles were met together with one accord soon after His crucifixion, when they were gathered together, when they elected someone to take Judas' place. And then after that, Jesus appeared to them, and even after He ascended back to heaven, don't we read in the book of Acts of them being together with one accord? You see, they were together in one spirit. And now, perhaps this book is written. I tried to do a little research as I studied about this, but the thing that sticks out to me more is about the 95 years after Jesus' death. John was the sole surviving apostle, right? And he had gone through so many things. So many things had been done with him. History tells us, now we don't read this in the scripture, but history tells us that they even put him in a cauldron of burning oil. And God didn't even let that take him. And he was exiled to this Isle of Patmos because of what he preached and taught. And I believe this is perhaps 90 or 95 years after. And John is probably an old man at this point, because he was no doubt in his 30s, somewhere close to the Lord's age when they were carrying the gospel. And so this is somewhere, I don't know what the timing is, but it's sometime after, isn't it? And things are happening in these churches that either is a phase that all churches go through, or it's a characteristic that each church of the living God takes on. I don't know. There's all kinds of theories about it. The only thing I can say about it is I look in it to see where I am and where the church that I am is at a particular time. Now, I want to point something out. I've already pointed out to you that verse that I used as my text. And let me read that again. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Do you know that 15 other times, well, 15 times altogether, so it would be 8 other times in the New Testament, those words are recorded of Jesus? Jesus said, he who hath an ear, let him hear. Do you think he wanted us to listen? Do you think that he wanted us to listen to him? And he tells us here how we are to listen to him. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, the other 6 times that it's written here, it's in almost exactly those same words. And in each one, he gives something else, that he that overcometh, those that are saved by God's grace, it tells about something that's going to be good for those that overcome. But you see, every time it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Hear what? What the Spirit saith unto the churches. How are we going to hear what God wants us to hear? Well, let me ask this question. How did you know you were lost? Did somebody tell you you were lost? I heard the brother say a while ago that his son ought to be lost. He thinks he's lost, but you don't know, do you? We don't know. And I don't know if he knows yet or not. But if he knows, I know who let him know. The Lord let him know. You know how he let him know? Through that Spirit. But you know, I was talking this morning in Sunday school about the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it was pointed out that Jesus always said he came to do the will of his Father. Do you know why he was doing that? Because he and his father agreed to what he was going to do. And did you know? Why do we have 3 persons and we call them one God? Why do we do that? Let me ask you this question before I answer that for you. Pick out three people in here today. Anyone who wants to can pick out three people. Can you get them to agree on anything? Will any three of you always agree on anything? You might agree on some things, but you won't agree on everything, will you? None of us will. But did you know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are always in complete harmony and agreement? Each one filling their respective office perfectly. Perfectly. Jesus said before he left, he told his disciples in the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters, he said, "It is expedient for you or for your benefit or good that I go away. For if I go away, I will send the Comforter, which is the Spirit." And he sent that Comforter in a mighty way. Now, I believe the Spirit is always here. I believe God is ever present. But he sent that Spirit in a very visible way on the day of Pentecost and empowered his church, didn't he? He commissioned his church when he was still in the world. But he empowered his church on the day of Pentecost when he baptized them with that Holy Spirit. And now he's saying in this closing book of the Bible, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to Brother Dyer or some other member of this church, or what the Spirit saith unto the churches." How is the church going to know what the Spirit saith unless each member is in tune with the Spirit? Do you see my point? Do you see why God told those people in Israel? And do you see why it's so imperative for us to understand when God gave instructions to the children of Israel of things they were to do all throughout their history, that we ought to be attentive to that, because He's talking to His church when He's telling us those things. When we fall away from Him, when we stop listening for His voice, when we stop looking for the answers that He gives, that's when we get in trouble as a group of people. That's how we get in trouble individually, and it's how we get in trouble as a group of people. But when we hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, blessed are we. I guess we could go back to the Sermon on the Mount there in the fifth chapter of Matthew's, where that starts, and say, "Blessed are," and look at all of those blessings that we would get if we would be obedient servants to the voice of God. How do we know? How do we know what we need to do? Well, God sends preachers, and I want to tell you something. I haven't left us out, have I? I haven't left us out. Every man that God has called, the first thing we ought to do is ask God what our work is. We ought to. Men ought not to pastor churches if He's called them to be evangelists or missionaries or to preach to the lost or whatever it be. They ought not to do that. They missed their calling. Do you believe that? I believe that. The Bible tells us that He gives all of these different things. And He says, some evangelists and some preachers, some evangelists. I can't quote it, and I have to go look it up, and I'm not going to take the time to do that. But I believe it's in Ephesians and maybe one of the Corinthian letters where He gives those instructions. But then He says, pastors and teachers. He calls some men to be pastors. And so men who are called to be pastors, they need to be pastoring. That's what they need to do. Men that He's called to be evangelists, they need to be doing evangelistic work. Men that He's called to be missionaries to go, I believe it takes a very special man to do that. And I believe that God has to send him. And I believe sometimes that we as churches fail some of our missionaries when we don't send them out like we read in the Scripture that they were sent. We ought not to send them out by themselves. They ought to go to by who? That's the way Jesus sent them out. Wonder if that's the reason some of our mission work fails. Is because, and I know there's all kinds of ways of doing mission work. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I believe we're all missionaries. I believe when we walk out these doors today, we can be a witness to the world. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that. But we need to listen to what God is saying. Are we listening? I believe the man that God is going to send, whatever his work is, he needs to determine what God wants him to do. And you know, sometimes we don't always know. So you know what we need to do? We need to do what he gives us to do today, tomorrow, next week, next month. If he doesn't reveal to us what our life's work is, you know what? There's a purpose in that. But you know, it's that way for church members too. Sometimes he plants somebody in a church and he leaves them there all their lives. He does. That's where I wanted to stay when he called me to preach. Man, I didn't want to leave where I had left and got to come back to. I didn't want to leave again. You know what? I don't want to leave again now. But you know what I need to do? I need to listen to what God has for me. And church, you need to listen for what God has for you. And I want to encourage you, every individual member of this church, you need to listen for what God is telling you. That's what we need. And I want to tell you, if we would listen and we would take heed and we would take action to do what God wants us to do, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do his work. He's always done his work. He's going to continue to do his work. He just wants to use us as the instruments that he does his work through. I mentioned a little while ago, Brother Neil Forshee. Every time I see him and I thank him for the help that he gave me, he said, "Brother Mitch, it wasn't me, it was the Lord." And I said, "I know, Brother Neil, but I said, you're still special anyway because he used you to help me." Isn't that the way it is in our lives? Doesn't God put some really special people in our lives that he uses to help us? And when we stop and we look at it, we know it's the Lord. We know it's the Lord because of how we feel inside and what he's done. And it's something that somebody else couldn't do. But when he uses an instrument, doesn't that make them very special in our lives to do that? Maybe it's a mother or father that led us to the Lord, taught us we needed to believe the gospel, that carried us to church. They might not have told us that, but they showed us that. It might be an aunt or an uncle. It might be a brother or a sister. Do you know, in this day and age, it might be a son or a daughter. Do you know there's children that lead their parents to the Lord now? We live in a world that's full of evil and full of controversy and full of division. But I want to tell you, in the Lord's work, the Lord said that he wasn't divided. He said, if I was doing these works of the devil, he said, I would be divided, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. The Lord's church has stood for over 2,000 years, and I'm convinced that it's going to be here. The church is going to be here when he comes back. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope that's right here at Mount Calvary when he comes back. And you're still found doing the Lord's work. May God bless you is my prayer. And I want to leave you with this thought. Are you listening? Are you listening? May God bless you is my prayer.